1971, kids vanish into government labs. 1973, DARPA funds quantum displacement chambers. 1975, a boy says he was teleported to Mars. The Pentagon calls it fiction, but the documents don't. You've heard of time travel. You've seen it in movies. But in the 1970s, something was happening behind locked military doors. Experiments that blurred the line between memory, space, and location. In one kid, Andrew Basiago didn't just claim to witness it. He said he was the proof that DARPA was teleporting children across the country and across timelines. But here's the twist. The receipts, they might be real. They said it was theoretical, just papers, just physics, just possibilities. But the funding was very real. The labs were active, and the names on those documents were not fiction. While America watched Watergate unfold, another program was already decades deep into something far weirder. A classified initiative buried inside black budget corridors. Not just to bend space, but to remove it. Declassified memos speak of non-local entanglement. Patent filings reference teleportation platforms. And nestled deep in Defense Department procurement sheets are line items labeled displacement engine testing. And just when the trail goes cold, a name resurfaces. Andrew Basiago. A child who says he was there, not recruited, drafted. He claims he stood on a stage in El Segundo and vanished. Not in theory, in front of military handlers. To this day, his story sounds totally insane. It should be. But the strange part isn't that he said it. The strange part is how many things check out. Now, we're not here to tell you he's right. We're here to show you what they've never told you, because something happened, and once we show you the rest, you might realize it's still happening. Hey, if you're still here, it means you're not just here for the surface level stories. You're chasing something deeper, like we are. So please do me a favor, hit subscribe, because if we don't build this community, the algorithm isn't going to help us, and no one's going to tell these stories at all. All right, onward. Let's meet Andrew Basiago. He's a child prodigy, environmental lawyer, supposed participant in a top secret DARPA teleportation program, and a self-declared chrononaut. He's either a government insider who accidentally got remembered, or a walking disinformation campaign dressed in court briefs and time machine stories. Let's treat him like a case file. Born in 1961, Basiago was raised in New Jersey, son of Raymond Basiago, an engineer reportedly tied to defense contractors like Parsons Corporation and Ralph M. Parsons Engineering. In Andrew's words, his father didn't just design aerospace systems, he helped pioneer time travel. Let's flag that. By age six, Andrew says he was selected for Project Pegasus, a secret U.S. time-space exploration initiative run by DARPA and the CIA. Not only did he claim to travel through space and time, he claimed to do it dozens of times. His most infamous claim? That at 10 years old, he had teleported to Gettysburg in 1863. And not just anywhere at Gettysburg. He says he stood near the podium during Lincoln's address, wearing oversized Union boots, a coat too big for him, and looking just disoriented enough to get photographed. Yes, he claims to be in an actual historical photo. His second most famous claim? Buckle for this one, that he traveled to Mars repeatedly using a device called a jump room. And that he did it alongside another participant who would later go on to become President Barack Obama, then known as Barry Soetoro. not kidding. He has described underground military facilities, briefings by shadow operatives, and missions to Mars bases to observe native fauna and interface with non-terrestrial intelligences. Now, this is where most people check out, but not us, because that's not the weirdest part. The weirdest part is how consistent his story was for years. From interviews to affidavits, the structure barely changed until it did. Around 2015, something started to crack. Timelines shifted, details changed. Obama was mentioned less, then more, then not at all. People he used to reference, like William Stillings, another alleged chrononaut, were quietly dropped. He went from saying he was chosen for time missions to saying he was groomed to lead disclosure. And eventually, he announced a run for president. Yeah. He ran in 2016 as a truth and disclosure candidate, claiming he would declassify all time travel tech and reveal the full history of U.S. contact with extraterrestrials. Now let's stop here. If Andrew Basiago was telling the truth, then he's the most important whistleblower of the 21st century. If he's lying, he's one of the most elaborate psyops ever deployed, or the most committed performance artist alive. So what do? We're going to dig deeper. Because something doesn't add up. His education checks out. His legal credentials are real. His claims, wild, inconsistent, but never totally detached from possible context. He speaks with certainty, but also contradiction. He remembers too much detail for a fantasist, but not enough verification for a source. He may not be lying. He may be repeating something given to him, or something planted. Now, we're not asking you to believe Andrew Basiago. We're asking who benefits if you don't. Long before anyone claimed to teleport to Mars, DARPA was already neck deep in things it didn't want you to understand. In the early 1970s, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency wasn't some fringe outfit. It was the Pentagon's brain trust, where black budget dreams became physical reality. This is the same agency that gave us stealth aircraft, the internet, drone warfare, and something else. Something they quietly filed under exotic physics. Let's start with receipts. In 1972, DARPA approved funding for what they called non-conventional technology applications. You won't find that phrase in a science textbook, but you will find it in a FOIA released memo titled Anomalous Propagation and Cognitive Influence. Translation: they were studying how the mind interacts with time and space with real money and real labs. Next, the RAND Corporation, DARPA's think tank. These weren't UFO guys. These were Ivy League physicists writing internal papers like Topology of Curved Space-Time Under Varying Magnetic Torsion. Their words, not ours. And get this, in 1975, RAND released a private report called Chronospatial Displacement Vectors and Analysis. It was immediately classified. When researchers went back to cite it in 1982, they were told no such paper exists. But here's the problem. It did exist. It's referenced in at least three other papers, each hinting at field experiments involving rotating electromagnetic coils and human subjects. We're not in fantasy land. We're in white paper hell. Then, in 1976, a little-known contractor submitted patent number 393-0054, titled Apparatus and Method for Traveling Through a Curved Time Field. You could look it up. It's still on file. And the applicant? A subcontractor with verified ties to Lockheed and Naval Surface Warfare. Folks, this isn't storytelling. These are receipts. And we're still not done. Declassified DIA briefings from 1978 confirmed that the U.S. had been funding controlled remote perception labs, attempting to project consciousness outside the body and retrieve data from across distances, and possibly time. And finally, the bombshell no one talks about. In 1979, an internal white paper was circulated at Fort Meade titled Project Chrononaut, a feasibility review. Less than a dozen copies were printed, and to this day, not a single copy has surfaced. But it is listed in a 1981 Army Training Manual bibliography under Supplemental Material for Unconventional Deployment Strategies. It has a file number. It had a budget line. Then it disappeared. So when a man steps forward years later and claims he was part of a government teleportation program called Project Pegasus, what do most people do? They laugh. They scoff. They move on. But that's because they never saw this first. They never saw the documents, the patents, the breadcrumbs. You did, and we're just getting started. Let's forget Andrew Basiago for a second. Forget Gettysburg, forget Mars, forget Barry Soetero in a jump room. Let's just ask one question. Could any of this actually work? And not someday in the future. We mean back then, in the 70s, when bell bottoms were in and government programs were off the leash. Let's start here. The Einstein-Rosen bridges. Theoretical tunnels through space-time. You might know them as wormholes. Einstein and physicist Nathan Rosen proposed them in 1935, not as sci-fi fantasy, but as a mathematical solution to general relativity. A bridge linking two points in space-time. Instantaneous travel, if you could survive the trip. And while we've never built one, the math has only gotten more refined, especially when you layer in with tesseract theory, a 4D hypercube concept that opens doors in higher dimensions. Not fiction, geometry. Now add this, quantum entanglement. Two particles separated by light years react instantly to each other. Einstein called it spooky action at a distance. The NSA probably just called it secure communication. Because this is the blueprint for non-local information transfer. Instant messaging across time and space without wires, without satellites, and without delay. Now let's talk hardware. Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. In the 70s and 80s, they weren't just building bombs. They were working on something called light-encoded data compression, basically holographic memory. Data stored in light, compressed, encoded, and retrieved through laser interference. Theoretically, you could store entire 3D spatial environments and beam them back. Not just video location. That's the kind of tech that wouldn't look like a time machine. It would look like a room you walk into and suddenly you're somewhere else. Now let's go deeper. DARPA's real documented interest in PSI research. We're talking clairvoyance, remote viewing, telepathy. It's all there in the declassified Stargate archives and psychic warfare experiments run out of Fort Meade. If your first reaction is, okay, but none of that worked, well, I have bad news for you. Some of it did. Enough that it ran for decades and millions of dollars worth. Enough that documents labeled eyes only described results in terms of military applicability. Enough that these experiments were buried, revived, and then quietly absorbed into other programs. And what about holography? Enter Project Bluebeam. Allegedly a DARPA-linked initiative to use directed energy and advanced holography for battlefield deception, false apparitions, and even religious manipulation. Is Bluebeam confirmed? Not fully, but the patents for every part of it are very real, and they predate your smartphone by 20 years. You see where this is going? We're not saying DARPA had a working jump room in 1972, but we are saying the math was there. The materials were being studied, the contracts were being signed, and the experiments, they were weirder than anything Basiago ever said. This wasn't a guy waking up with dreams of Mars. This was a government building the exact scientific environment where a story like that could plausibly occur. So even if you think Andrew's story is warped, inflated, or implanted, you're forced to admit something worse. He wasn't that far off. Let's assume, just for a second, that Project Pegasus was real. That there was some kind of DARPA initiative in the 1970s. That it did involve experimental displacement tech, time manipulation, or something that looked a lot like teleportation. Here's the problem. Why would they let anyone talk about it? And more importantly, why would they let him talk about it? Let's get into it. First, the setup. If you wanted to protect a real classified program that had cracked something unthinkable, like time travel, teleportation, or non-local surveillance, how would you hide it? Would you lock it away in a vault? Or would you do something much smarter? Would you leak it, just enough, wrapped in total insanity? That's how psyops work. They don't erase the truth, they flood it, they drown it in noise. And that brings us back to Andrew Basiago. Because by the early 2000s, his claims weren't just wild, they were strategically absurd. He didn't just say he was part of a teleportation program, he said he went to Gettysburg, that he met Lincoln, that he fought on Mars with Barack Obama. Do you see what that does? It poisons the well. Now, anyone who brings up DARPA's real experiments with teleportation, wormholes, or chronovision gets lumped into the same basket as, oh, you mean the guy who said Obama was a Martian gladiator? It's brilliant. It's not new. This exact strategy was used during MKUltra. When stories started leaking about mind control, chemical programming, and psychic research, what happened? They let the craziest versions run wild. CIA agents reading minds with mushrooms, ESP death squads, voices in the fillings. Not because it was all true, but because some of it was, and the rest made sure nobody believed it. Now go back to Basiago. He calls himself a chrononaut. He presents a campaign platform for US president with time travel as a major plank. He connects himself to famous names, unverifiable missions, and increasingly uncheckable claims. And here's the twist most creators miss. There's almost no independent verification of Andrew's life between the mid-1970s and early 2000s. His entire identity emerges in full color only after he goes public. So ask yourself, was he a plant, a victim, or just a shield for something bigger? Let's entertain one more theory. What if the kids in Project Pegasus weren't meant to be understood literally? What if they were metaphors, cover identities for MKUltra test subjects? Children were used in real black budget trauma programs. We know that from declassified documents, survivor testimony, and Senate hearings. And what better way to hide that horror than by telling the public they were teleporting to Mars? Suddenly, the real atrocities vanish behind a cosmic joke. And the people who try to expose it, they look insane by default. That's the play. Turn whistleblowers into cartoons. Wrap the real tech in fantasy. Make the truth so ridiculous that no one touches it. And in that context, Andrew Basiago isn't just a curiosity. He's a firewall. The question is, was he building that firewall on purpose? Or was he thrown into the fire to become it? Either way, somebody somewhere wanted this buried in plain sight. Okay, so time out for a second. Let's pull the emotion out of the room, drop the theatrics, and deal with this thing like grown-ups. Because if you've made it this far, you're either leaning forward with your jaw on the floor, or you're ready to call the whole thing bullshit. Good. That means your brain's still working. So let's look at what we actually have. First, teleportation patents exist. And they're not fringe. They're filed, time-stamped, public. In 2004, the US Navy funded research into space-time modification weapon systems. That's real. There's a patent, US 2006-007-1122A1, literally titled Full Body Teleportation System. Does that mean it works? Hell no. It means someone tried to patent the idea. But it also means the concept was being explored inside defense systems. Not on Reddit, not in comic books, at DARPA, at Lockheed, at Lawrence Livermore. So yeah, the science isn't fiction. It's just unfinished, or, depending on how deep you want to go, unshared. Second, Andrew Basiago is not a prophet. He's not a clown either. He's a human being with a story that's shifted, a story that sometimes contradicts itself, a story that often adds details that sound more cinematic than forensic. We're not going to pretend he's airtight. We're not going to pretend he's a psyop without evidence either. We're just going to call it what it is. Interesting, suspect, and worth investigating. Because if even 10% of what he's saying is true, then we're not living in the world we think we are. But let's be clear, we're not saying Pegasus happened. We're not telling you it didn't. We're saying the conditions for it to exist were absolutely there. The budget lines, the black projects, the research grants that disappeared, the weird patents, the vanished files, the psychological warfare programs that loved wrapping real breakthroughs in garbage. All of that documented. So when a guy shows up saying, hey, I was part of a time travel experiment, the only thing more dangerous than believing him blindly is laughing him off without checking. That's how you miss the real story. And that's the whole point of this channel. This isn't a conspiracy channel. This is a truth first channel. We don't do tinfoil. We don't do cults of personality. We do forensics. And when we see a story drowning in noise, our job isn't to save it or sink it. It's to pull it out, cut it open, and see what's inside. And that's what we just did. And if you're still here thinking, yeah, but what if? Then congrats, your curiosity survived. They always tell us these stories are ridiculous, too wild, too messy, too far-fetched to take seriously. And most of the time, they're right, until they're not. Because here's the part nobody likes to talk about. When governments want to hide something real, they don't bury it in darkness, they drown it in noise. They wrap it in cartoons, attach it in unstable messengers, leak it through whispers and blogs in late-night AM radio. They want you rolling your eyes, because if you're laughing, you're not looking. Project Pegasus might be a lie, or it might be what it was always meant to be. A cover story built from real tech, twisted just enough to be unbelievable. And that's the real magic trick. Take something that should change the world and make it sound like a sci-fi convention fever dream. So here we are, standing at the edge of a story that was never supposed to be told seriously. And we just took it apart like it mattered. Because maybe it does. Maybe it's not about time travel. Maybe it's not about Mars. Maybe it's about the very real, very strategic art of hiding truth in plain sight. And if they were teleporting children or test subjects or digital consciousness through electromagnetic fields in the 70s, what do you think they're doing now? We're not just chasing ghosts. We're chasing the future someone already built and then scrubbed from the timeline. And if they went through the trouble of erasing it, you better believe it mattered. That was Project Pegasus. You weren't supposed to hear it like this, but I guess here we are. And look, if you've made it this far, I already know something about you. You don't need to be told to think deeper. You already do. So yeah, if you want to help keep this channel alive, actually alive, go ahead and hit subscribe, hit like, or whatever the algorithm gods demand. Because there's no sponsor here, no brand deals, no corporate safety net, just me and you chasing down the stories that were never meant to surface. And hey, if you want to go deeper, like really deeper, patreon.com/divergentfiles. $3 a month gets you into the weird stuff, the raw stuff, the stuff that honestly, I'm not even sure should be on YouTube. Oh, and we just launched the Divergent Files Project podcast. Same vibe, different format. Long form, unfiltered, perfect for those nights when your brain won't shut up. You'll find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Now, before I go, if this episode cracks something open for you, or if you've got a theory I should chase, drop it in the comments. I read them all, seriously. You're not just an audience. You're the proof that somebody still gives a damn. So thank you for being here, for staying curious, and remember that you are truly appreciated.